Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timory. If you haven't already subscribed, please catch us wherever you love to listen to your podcasts, from the Relevant Radio app to Apple, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go and give us a 5-star review to help other people discover the podcast. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Okay, so much to talk about, from Adele now being called a TERF and apparently she's being canceled. We'll also talk about a Christian pastor who's being canceled by feminists, not only being canceled by them, but being sent nudes because he dared to say something about modesty and just what he wishes didn't come across his news feed. It's also the feast day of, do you know the saint? Well, it's Our Lady. It's the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's a feast day of Our Lady Lourdes, and I'm going to discuss what she says about happiness today on Trending. Also, we're taking your questions. If you are looking for a date, you know, National Singles Awareness Day is coming up, and perhaps you'd like to get a date by that day coming up, or perhaps you just like to get a date. Joining me is Christina Pineda, celebrity and royal matchmaker, here to help all of us in discovering our dating goals, that is the single individuals here. But hey, you should always keep dating your spouse, right? And that's a very important thing for us to remember, that we continue to date our spouse. That's a conversation for our marriage hour. So stay tuned, because we are going to dive into the 7 tips she has to help you get a date. Call your friend, call your girlfriend. Gentlemen, lean in, because you are not going to miss or want to miss this conversation. The number is 1-888-914-9149. If you have a question for celebrity and royal matchmaker Christina Pineda, she also matchmakes us peasants as well, here with her advice. Let's kick off the hour by praying for an end to abortion and for our needs to be met. Here at Relevant Radio, in our pledge drive, we had the goal in need of $3 million, and we're about $60,000 short. We need $3 million to continue to operate here at Relevant Radio, so I'm asking you to partner with us by supporting us here at Relevant Radio. I'll tell you how in just a moment to donate, but let's start by praying for an end to abortion and for those needs to be net met. Hopefully, we can just raise that $60,000 this hour and be done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought to thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I mentioned before, we fell a little short today in our pledge drive. We need $3 million to continue to operate for the next 3 months here at Relevant Radio, and we are $60,000 shy. So I'm asking you, please give and give now, relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or you can give us a call to donate. The number is 1-888. Oh, I'm giving you the wrong number. It's 1. I was testing you. 1-877-291-0123. And everything you give, if you give $50 right now, that is matched. Generous donors have stepped out and said, I'd like to give, but I want to inspire others to give as well. So we really, if we raise $30,000 this hour, we can hit that $60,000 mark. So if you can donate, please, now is the time to give. I'll keep you updated as the hour goes. You're listening to Trending with Timory. Joining me now is celebrity and royal matchmaker Christina Pineda. And Christina, some might argue that one gentleman really stuck his foot in it this week. A pastor online who is being referred to as Dear Brian. A massive hashtag has gone out all over social media. Protestant pastor dared to say something, essentially, that is Brian Sov, about modesty. Didn't quite say the words modesty. He said, "Dear ladies," this is a tweet, "there's no reason whatsoever for you to post pictures of yourself in low-cut shirts, bikinis, bras, and underwear, or anything similar, ever. Now, to show your weight, not to show your weight loss journey, not to show your newborn baby, not to document your birth story, your brothers." That's how he signs it. Okay, would love to hear if you agree or disagree. You can comment on my tweet I put up now at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. I think there will be a lot of backlash. I think I especially hear and feel the moms getting all riled up. Like, what, I can't post an image of me giving birth and being proud of myself? Like, I see those people wanting to call and be very upset right now. So send me a tweet. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Join me to discuss this, and especially in relation to the topic of dating as well, is celebrity and royal matchmaker Christina Pineda from Matchmakers in the City. Christina, we'll talk about more of the tweets and the backlash, but feminists took to Twitter and a couple things happened. One, they started writing Dear Brian, totally just hating on him for saying anything. But two, they started sending him nudes left and right and inappropriate images. We'll get to some of his response in a minute, which I think is genius, addressing the feminist issue. But what is your initial thought, Christina, on this whole story, especially as a matchmaker working with women who are trying so desperately to enter into relationships and hopefully one day get married?
Hi, Timmerie. So wonderful to be on with you. And yes, I'm so sad to hear about this backlash that that pastor got from what he said, because what he said was just a comment from a man to women. And it's sad that women can't just take it and not get upset about it. And I'm sure some women haven't gotten upset and agree with him. But yeah, it was troubling to see that reaction. And this controversy really reminds me of one of the bachelorettes who I was coaching, who wondered why every man she went on a date with wanted to sleep with her on the first date. And I asked her what she was wearing on her dates, because it seemed like such an odd coincidence that every single man was trying to sleep with her on the first date. Because if you're doing dating apps, they do have a certain connotation, but it's a little weird that every single guy was doing that. And she showed me that she was wearing very low-cut tops or dresses on the dates. I know that people are going to probably be very mad at me saying that, but I did advise her to wear something that is, it can be form-fitting, but covers up those more personal areas.
Vital areas. And are checked.
Right. And because I think you talk about this on your show, that men, there's a saying that men can't multitask. And that's true even when it comes to dating. You talk about that if a man is looking at a woman, he has a hard time focusing. That's why a lot of men look away from a woman when he talks to her. So you will say about when you're having a conversation with your husband, for instance, maybe it's good to go on a walk with him so he can look, it's important conversation, and he can focus, because that is how men are wired. So imagine if a man is staring at a woman who's revealing her body, it's even harder for him to think of anything else but her body and sex. So that's why I gave that advice to that bachelorette, and she took it really well, and it changed her dating life for the better. It's not about wearing whatever you want, because you can wear whatever you want, but it does have a certain reaction. We have to be aware of that. And modesty has something to do with the way that we present ourselves, but also the way that we think about other people when we're dressing, and how our dressing could upset them or they could react to us. I don't mean that this excuses inappropriate behavior of men. These men should not have been trying to sleep with her on the first date. But it is important to remember how men are wired.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point. Helping men to be inspired to, for us women to be inspired to understand how men function is different from who we are. That's what we love so much about the opposite sex, male and female, is that we love what is other about the other person. And part of that has to do with how we approach intimacy and body image and much more. And even reading this pastor's comments, which has gone so viral online, like, okay, I see how some people could definitely be offended, and it's hard to swallow because I really do believe, Christina, that modesty is a journey that so many women have to work through. It's difficult in our culture, and modesty isn't just clothing, it's speech, it's the way we portray ourselves. So, you know, when I read this here, Brian Suave is saying, you know, hey, don't post anything in low-cut shirts, bikinis, bras, underwear, anything similar ever. Okay, we've all been there and done that, but, you know, with maturity and hopefully, you know, a development of modesty, you start to understand time, context, and what that looks like. Because he goes on to talk about, you know, not documenting your weight loss journey. I actually agree. Please, who really wants to see your weight loss journey? Like, you don't need to pose in your underwear. I agree with that, okay? You don't need to pose in a bikini either. You don't have to. That's great, celebrate it, but you don't have to wear less clothing to show that clothing in a smaller size fits. And, you know, he talks about, yes, you know, when not even to show your newborn baby or document your birth story. You know, I think that there is an important understanding where certain things in life can be portrayed. They can be portrayed beautifully, but they can also be portrayed modestly. You know, even, you know, showing your bump photos. Sure, some photos can be really cute, you know, showing the bump completely exposed. But a lot of photos can be really cute showing your pregnancy belly with clothing over that belly too. You know, there's a lot that could be said, I think, in this whole topic. But what's interesting too, Christine, and I want to touch on this briefly because we have just a minute here, is I thought it was fascinating because he made two comments on Twitter after he received this backlash. Many people, like I said, sent him scandalous photos, nude photos, and he went on to say, many of you likely use and promote the hashtag MeToo movement, yet hundreds of you are sending me unsolicited sexual images and videos. He said, is that okay now? He said, I thought your sexual ethic was all about consent. This seems like naked, pun intended, hypocrisy on your part. So here we are again seeing the Me Too movement, that it's okay if it's women. And this is where he actually goes on, I think, Christina, to summarize the feminist movement really well in terms of freedom for women is always okay. Women can be as nasty as they want, but it's never wrong or toxic. When he says this, if a man were to send you unsolicited nude pictures or sexually explicit video of himself, you would rightly judge him as a sexually abusive pervert, but you can do it to me. He has a really good point that the radical feminist movement thinks that women can do whatever they want and be as nasty as they please, you know, with this third wave feminism that is pioneered by people such as Madonna. And he's calling them out for it, and they hate it, Christina.
Yep. And I saw one of the comments, and the woman said, my body, my choice, and used that argument about posting revealing photos. And that's usually the catchphrase for the pro-abortion movement, but it's false because the baby's body is his or her body, not your body, not the woman's body. And when you're using this, many who are pro this argument of my body, my choice for abortion are voting for vaccine mandates for people to need to get vaccines in order to do simple things like go to a restaurant or even work. So that's not my body, my choice, if someone is forced to be vaccinated in order to do those things. So that whole argument is completely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And if anyone has ever taken a basic acting class who is listening, you know that one of the first lessons you learn is the person who is the loudest in the room has the least power. People on Twitter should remember that instead of speaking so violently and just the amount of negative comments that go on that people think they can
don't
hide
read
behind.
The Twitter feed. Do not read the Twitter feed. I will say that much. Right. You're listening to Trending with Timmeray. That's Christina Pineda, celebrity and royal matchmaker. You can find her at matchmakersinthecity.com. We're going to dive into how to get a date. 7 tips with matchmaker Christina Pineda. We will get to that in just a moment. I shared with you just a little bit ago that we fell short of our need to raise $3 million. At the beginning of the hour, we needed $60,000 still to go. We've raised half of that. We need $31,000 to go. So I'm asking you to give and to give generously. This is a lot to raise in this last about 40 minutes here, but I know we can. We need people to give large amounts tonight because we need to continue to do the work we do here at Relevant Radio and be funded for the next 3 months. And so I'm asking you to give online, relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app. The gifts as thank yous that we have to give to you are still available. You can look online at what those are. And you can also give by calling us at 1-877-291-0123. No matter how small or large your gift may be, we greatly appreciate it. So thank you for those who have already donated and supported us. If you haven't donated yet, this is your hour. We have 40 minutes to go this hour. We need $31,000, and this is it. We will hit the $3 million mark. Christina, let's talk about how to get a date. And by the way, we're taking your questions. So you can give us a call too or comment on Instagram, my story with your questions. We have a lot coming in. Let's talk about those 7 quick tips on how to get a date. National Single Awareness Day is coming up. Valentine's Day, I mean. And a lot of people are sitting here feeling a little single. So let's spice it up. Do a friend a favor. Share these tips.
Yes. My first one is to go to a conference with like-minded singles. An example would be the Heart of Dating Conference that's actually going on this coming weekend in Orlando, Florida. It's Saturday, February 12th to Sunday, February 13th. And you go in person if you live in Florida, or you can join virtually and you can listen to some amazing speakers about dating, relationships, all great things. There's also the Young Catholic Professional Conference coming up in April. Actually, it's April 29th to May 1st in Frisco, Texas. Another fantastic place to meet Catholics who are mostly single.
Hey, no getting frisky in Frisco.
I love it. And then my next step is to say hello and start a conversation with someone new every day. This, I want you to get out there, I want you to meet new people, and I want you to strike up conversations with people, because the more people you talk to, the easier it will be to talk to someone who you find attractive. The third tip is to say yes to someone or ask someone out who may be different from your typical type. That might be hard for you, but I want you to start thinking out of the box and actually going on dates, and this is one of the ways to do it.
Like
now, it will help. Number 4, instead of spending your social time at restaurants, bars, and or clubs, go to events. It's very easy to get in the whole route with your friends of, oh, we go to this bar all the time, or we go clubbing on the weekends, or we go to restaurants and do dinners with the girls or the guys. Those are not places where you are going to meet singles who are or people who are eligible to be your next girlfriend or boyfriend. Don't go there. Go to events. And this is number 5, but some great events would be connect with your alumni network. Number 6, join Meetup and explore your interests there. Those are other great events. And a funny little story, my husband Dan and I went to an 18th century dance class meetup once. We were just preparing we wanted to see if we wanted to do something like that at our wedding. And I was so surprised that there were so many young single men there. I was not expecting that. They even outnumbered the ladies.
It is true. You can go to some of these dancing places and you might be surprised by the number of people who are there looking for a date. It's exciting to kind of see that there are lots of things that you can do. And can you explain for those who don't know what Meetup is?
Sure. It's an online forum, basically, where you create a profile, and then there are different, you put in the area that you live, and there are different groups. You can search for different interest groups that are nearby you. There's hiking meetups, there's 18th century dance class meetups, basically anything under the sun to do. There are people who are like-minded, and you can join that and do outings together.
Very cool. Okay, what's that seventh tip? Have I missed it?
The seventh tip is, if events are not happening in your area, some places like Canada are still really locked down, you can join all of the matchmakers' databases around, where in whatever city or town you live in, just search for matchmakers in your area and or do a membership with one of these matchmaking companies.
Fabulous. Okay, those are your seven tips for how to get a date. Do a friend a favor, get this podcast at relevantradio.com/trending or wherever you catch your pods and share it with a friend. It'll be available later tonight if you're listening live. So please, this is the podcast. You have a child who's single, pringle, ready to mingle. This is it. And, you know, you can just say, hey, heard this, thought I might share it. It's not assuming anything. A friend, a family member. This is something good to help the little love and romance in people's lives right now as we approach National Single Awareness Day. Okay, Christina, we have tons of questions coming in. I want to take at least a couple of these here. Okay, Isabel is asking on Instagram. And by the way, if you have a question, the number is 1-888-914-9149, or you can ask live now on my Instagram story. Follow me at Timmerie. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, and we will take your question. So Isabel is asking on Instagram. She said, I've liked a holy guy for a while, and we have a good friendship, but he's never asked me out. Should I just move on at this point, or should I be the one to ask him out?
Ooh, that's hard. I would say I never advise women to ask men out directly. We actually did a panel of men called a mannel once it was with 5 or 6 men, and all of the men on there said, because we had a whole group of women there asking questions, and that was one of the questions, and all of the men, and they're very different kinds of men, different ages, just very different. They all said, just don't ask the man out. It takes away their thunder. But you can encourage him in certain ways. You could say something. You probably know him, so you know that he doesn't have a girlfriend. But I would just, I don't know. If he knows you're single, he should be the one doing it. Timmerie, what do you think about that one?
Oh, man. Okay, so I am old-fashioned. I really do. I want to be asked as the female. However, here's the one context. If they have a good friendship, and I know a lot of people tend to be scared, you know, at a certain point, you might even ask, I don't know, maybe, and this is something to pray about, would you be interested in exploring possibly dating, or do you think that would ruin the relationship? It's something to throw that out there if you have a really good relationship with this person, friendship. But I do err on the side. I would not be the one to ask someone out.
And right. That's perfect, because you're not asking, you're not advising to her to ask him out. You're just saying, is this something that we can explore? And then he can ask Isabel out if he wants to. That's perfect.
Okay, this is a really fun matchmaker question. So give us the secrets here, Christina. Okay, Miss Caitlin Artuno on Instagram is saying, I thought of one. Okay, so here's the deal. What are some things that you look for that would make a good match? Or how do you get a good feeling about a certain match? So what should people look for, essentially, in terms of how you kind of look at a match and you're saying, oh yeah, this could be a really good person, or this would be a really great date for these two people?
Yes. Well, our three deal breakers, before we even just select matches, they have to match on these three categories. So they have to both want to get married. They both have to want children if they're going to be a good match, or not want children if they're going to be a good match. And then the third thing is they have to be religiously compatible, or they have to be compatible in faith. So those things are extremely important bottom line deal breakers that we use. And above that, we do look at physical attraction, what people say, the kind of people that they're attracted to, but also who that person is. And if that person works out a lot and takes really good care of his or her body, and they'll want to be with someone similar to that. It's very athletic and very lives a fast-paced life. They want to be with someone similar. So we do look at lifestyle as well. And there is an element, though, that is a matchmaker gift, that we have this spark feeling about certain matches that go above and beyond the stats about someone. So yeah, faith is very important, though, and faith and attraction are pretty important.
Fabulous. Okay, Christina, when someone comes to you, another question, when someone comes to you to be match made, what's their maybe like biggest go-to question? And maybe I am kind of putting my question out there as well that I would like to hear answered. You know, answer that first and I'll ask my question.
Okay, can you just say that once more? That first
Yeah,
question?
What's the most common question? Someone comes to you to start being match made. Okay. What's their kind of number one question for you when that begins?
Their number one question. I guess they want to know how soon they're going to meet matches. It's probably how quick it's going to go. That is what they want, because most people want to get going.
Okay, Lucy on Instagram is asking, why haven't I been able to meet someone? I'm 30, I'm single, and you know, this is the boat that a lot of women are in today. What's right. your answer?
Yeah, well, the past 2 years have been very difficult to meet someone. I hear this day in and day out when I'm meeting with our members, and it's hard to meet people in person. That's why it's good to work with matchmakers if you can. And it's important to make love a priority in your life. It sounds like it is in your life, and maybe you focused on your career or schooling. A lot of people, women who come to us, had done that, and men as well. They wanted to get to a certain level in their career, and then they thought that love would just come effortlessly, but it takes time and it takes being a priority in your life for it to actually for the right man or woman to come into your life. And the Lord wants you to make time and make space in your life, whether it's setting aside a night a week for going to an event and not working overtime so that this can be a real priority, and taking care of yourself and getting enough sleep, and all of those things go into being a good match for someone as well. You may already be doing a lot of those things, but just continue. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Mm-hmm. Einstein says that. So whatever you're doing, shake it up, work with a matchmaker, do something different. That will really help to usher in the right man into your life.
Those are words of wisdom from Christina Pineda, celebrity and royal matchmaker, also matchmaking us lowly peasants. So check them out, matchmakersinthecity.com. We've also tagged them on Instagram as well. Christina, it's been great talking with you. So excited for next time's tip. She'll be back. She's a regular here on Trending. So if you have a question for her, we will file it away for next time. In the meantime, I will be back to discuss how singer-songwriter Adele is now being canceled for saying she loves being a woman. We're also going to talk about Our Lady of Lourdes in light of her feast day today. We'll be right back here in Trending. Don't go away. And please, if you haven't already supported Relevant Radio, you can donate now, relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app, 1-877-291-0123. We still need $30,000 this hour to hit 3 million.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Trending. In just a moment, we're going to talk about Adele and how she is being canceled for saying she loves being a woman. Also, it's the feast day of, do you know the saint? It's the Blessed Virgin Mary, and that is her apparitions at Lourdes, the healing waters of Lourdes. Catholic and not, many people know about the miraculous story of Our Lady at Lourdes. So we'll talk a little bit about her and what she actually says about being happy. So stay tuned on that. By the way, if you're just joining us, so you may have been following all week, we're in the middle of our pledge drive, actually. It ended this afternoon. We needed to raise $3 million. $1,000 to continue to do our work for the next 3 months here at Relevant Radio to bring Christ through the media to you, to others. And we've asked you to partner with us. Well, we fell a little short. We still need $30,000 to reach that $3 million mark. And so I'm asking you to please join us. If you've not already donated, you can donate now at relevantradio.com. If you're listening on the Relevant Radio app, you can donate there, as well as giving us a call. It's easy if you want to go ahead and donate now, 1-877-291-0123. If you've already donated, thank you so much for supporting us and continuing to allow us to do the work we're doing. Lisa in Michigan donated $50. Maria in the western suburbs of Chicago has also stepped up and supported Relevant Radio. And Kathy from Rockne, Texas gave $5,000 because she says it is a little town and she wants to inspire others to donate no matter where they are from. And so if you can support us, please, relevantradio.com is the easiest way to give. And we have thank you gifts that we would like to give to you. So depending on what you're able to support us with, we have a beautiful San Damiano crucifix. We have a statue of the Holy Trinity and more. So please head over to relevantradio.com, tap the give button, and you can see those gifts we have to give to you as a thank you. And did I mention, anything you give today will be matched. We've had a donor step up and say, a number of them, and say, I'll give, but I'll only give if other people do too. So if you give $500 right now, another person will step up and give $500. But the only way we can get to that $3 million goal is if you will generously support us. You're listening to Trending with Timmeri here on Relevant Radio. I have a question that came in, still talking about, you know, National Single Awareness Day that's coming up next week. Hint, hint, gentlemen, ladies, reminder, Valentine's Day is coming up. And if you're not sure what to do, well, if you're not sure what to do, I actually did a whole podcast on this. So subscribe to the podcast, relevantradio.com/trending, or wherever you catch your podcasts, we are there. Okay, Mel is calling from Palm Beach, Florida, and he has a question about dating and relationships. Mel, welcome to Trending. What's your question?
Hi, Tim Marie, and warm greetings from Palm Beach. I had the last relationship I was in, it was everything from infidelity to you name it, and lived a secret life. The one before it, she forgot to tell me she was married. I don't want to become jaded by any means, but I also don't want to give up. Any advice?
Yes,
and I
great
value
question.
Your advice, being it's from the Catholic perspective.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mel, I'm really sorry about your experience. That's terrible. You know, the experience of infidelity in dating relationships can really leave a bad taste in your mouth, and especially when someone's secretly married and living a double life. That's rough. I think the dating scene is very difficult today. A lot of people don't believe in fidelity in marriage, and a lot of people are okay with sleeping with people who aren't their spouses. And that's a really good reminder for all of us. If you're struggling with chastity, think about this. When you have sex outside of marriage or do things with people outside of marriage, you're saying, you're communicating with your body language that you are okay sleeping with someone who is not your spouse, and you take that attitude into marriage. And so you just bring up kind of the problem of the culture that can leave many people jaded. And unfortunately, Mel, like yourself, I think there are a lot of men who are quitting the dating scene because of cruel women who, and it goes both ways, but women who are not honest and who play and use men just as men can play and use women. And so I want to encourage you, don't be jaded. Don't lose hope. Yes, there are people out there who do not have your best interest in mind. They're just looking for a one-night stand. They're just looking for someone to woo them. You remember, at the beginning of a relationship, it's a very wooing and exciting time. Some people talk about the beginning of a relationship as the most exciting part of a relationship. And so sometimes people are stuck on chasing that feeling when they feel like things aren't as great in their own marriage. Don't allow yourself to be the victim of that and quit the dating scene. If you've been jaded or had a bad experience, I want to encourage you, what Christina said, those 7 tips she gave for how to get a date, focus on the positive, change things up, your location, the environment. And as a faithful Catholic, if you're interested in dating and getting married, your faith should mean something to you. knowing that you're dating and talking to someone who believes in truth, who hopefully believes in God. For me, I was asked a couple weeks ago, what are my like deal breaker topics when it comes to dating someone? For me, they have to be Catholic. And so I think that's really important, especially as you continue on in your dating experience, you need to find that you share and have common beliefs. And some of those include, do you believe in saving sex for marriage? Do you believe in fidelity in dating relationships? And have we had that conversation of defining what this dating experience is? So Mel, don't lose hope. There are a lot of incredible women out there. And I always recommend, and I'm going to throw it out there, listen with an open heart and mind. I know a lot of people are opposed to online dating, and I would be too if I thought of it as online dating. But here's the deal. I don't think of online dating as online dating. I think of it as online introductions. You just spread the pool of people who you could potentially be introduced to. You shouldn't keep the date online. You shouldn't keep the date, the conversation online. You should take it to be in person. Okay, you're listening to Trending with Timmy here on Relevant Radio. Let's talk about what happened with Adele this week, why she's being canceled, and then we'll come to that glorious feast day of Our Lady of Lourdes and what Our Lady said about happiness. Okay, so here's the deal. If you didn't hear, Adele is being canceled. She's being called a TERF. Do you know what a TERF is? Well, it's a phrase now used to be thrown at women who are feminists, radical feminists, who otherwise would be admired, such as, for example, J.K. Rowling, who has also been canceled and called a TERF, because a TERF is someone who is so-called trans-exclusionary radical feminist. So some people are talking about rumors surrounding Adele possibly being engaged to Rich Paul with that glorious ring that's on her left hand. However, the cancel culture is more focused on making everything gray and purple. I hate purple. I'm really not a fan of gray. And here's the deal. That's funny because my notes are in purple right now. I just realized that. It's just what color my pen was. Anyways, I digress. So here's the deal. She was canceled. Adele was canceled like a year ago for so-called fat shaming because she lost weight and shared about how excited she was about this. We talked about it here on Trending. Well, now she's being canceled because at the Brit Awards this week, she received the Artist of the Year prize. Now, this formerly was a Best Male or Best Female Artist Award, but last year, the Brit Awards decided to eliminate the categories and make it all neutral, make it so that it was all inclusive, male and female. So here's the deal. When Adele was receiving her award, she made the mistake of saying these words.
I understand why the name of this award has changed, but I really love being a woman and being a female artist. I do.
She said, in case you can't speak Brit there, she said, I understand why the name of this award has been changed, but I really love being a woman and being a female artist. I do. So she's canceled because she said she loves being a woman and she loves being a female artist. What? You have got to be kidding me. You see, good people celebrate other people's accomplishments, and they don't go and just be total jerks about someone celebrating their own achievement. You know, there is a phrase I used to use a lot in college, and I would make some of my roommates crack up when someone was just mean, especially other women. I just say, haters gonna hate. Because that's the truth. Haters are always going to hate. There has to be a moment of truth in our life where we remember this and we let it slide off of our backs. You see, author Jane Simmons actually commented, and I thought this was a really interesting comment about the whole Adele situation. I'm pulling up what she said because I think it's very true about this cancel culture. She said, a decade ago, if someone had said a woman would be criticized for the thought crime of saying she liked being a woman, I would have laughed at such a ludicrous suggestion. Now it is happening. She wrote this on Twitter. Okay, you guys, what happened to the feminist movement? You see, here's the problem. We've become this, like, just a mush of nothingness. And I'll get to that in a moment, because we need to talk about women for a moment. Women are an absolute gift to society. Women are the heartbeat of our culture. We should celebrate the differences. We should celebrate the achievements of women. Alice von Hildebrand, she's a well-known writer, Catholic writer, and in a book that she wrote about being a woman, she wrote about a problem. She said, she referred to a problem as a metaphysical revolt of women. That is where we're confused about our identity, our self-knowledge, and ultimately about our purpose. And this reminds me of what St. John Paul II said in his encyclical Evangelium Vitae. He said, without the creator, the creature would disappear. But when God is forgotten, the creature itself grows unintelligible. That is, when we throw God out, when we throw our creator out, we no longer understand ourselves. We become nothingness. Which is funny, because isn't that the goal of the whole Buddhist movement, to become nothing, right? Okay, so life, I think, in this context, when we throw the creator out, the creature disappears. Life becomes a thing totally subject to our control and our manipulation as a society, as individuals. And in a sense, whoever is the loudest on social media, or whoever controls the narrative in mainstream media, well, they seemingly seem to be winning in terms of defining society. But here's the thing. If as a society, we allow ourselves to be defined as neutral, we will no longer be able to pose the question as to the meaning of our own existence. If there's no such thing as male and female, if we can't celebrate female achievement, if we look at a newborn baby and say, you know what, we can't say what you are, you should define your own reality. And we make them dress in purple and gray and black. What's going to happen is an absolute long-term permanent existential crisis. We're trying to live as if God does not exist. And this is the problem at hand. We are literally trying to live as if God doesn't exist. But you see, by living as if God did not exist, St. John Paul II in Evangelium Vitae said this: man not only loses sight of the mystery of God, but also of the mystery of the world and the mystery of his own being. So when we throw God out, we miss the transcendent, the mysterious dimension of the human person. I mentioned earlier, because we were talking all about dating, about part of what we love in dating and relationships and the law of attraction is that we love what is other. We love what is mysterious. But we're completely losing that in a society that is trying to completely erase the differences between male and female. And Adele is being canceled for being a female artist standing on the stage at a time when, hey, kind of cool, there's no longer separate divisions of male and female in this music award for Brits. It's all around. And she won it. And she's celebrating it, saying, yeah, I won this. And I get that it's a neutral award, but hey, I'm a woman and I'm proud of being a woman. We should be able to allow our daughters and our sons to look up to icons who personify femininity and masculinity. And I think that that's the final point and emphasis we have to look at when it comes to Adele. Ignore who's canceling her and why they're saying she's being transphobic. No, what this is about supporting and upholding femininity and masculinity in our culture. And with that, it requires that we don't throw the creator out. That we better know ourselves by better discovering the great mystery of God and the truth of the reality that he created in us as male and female. He did so intentionally. And so let's intentionally strive to come to a greater and deeper understanding of our femininity as women and of your masculinity as men. That's a good thing. The more we become masculine, the more we become feminine according to our biological sex, the more we fully discover and live out the great calling God has called us to. You're listening to Trending with Timmeray. I want to come to the feast day of a Saint that we celebrate today. It's funny, we don't talk about her a lot as a saint because she has such a special category. But before we do, I'd like to share with you a little bit of information. We are working toward our $3 million need to continue to operate here at Relevant Radio over the next 3 months. And we fell short. Pledge drive ended this weekend just earlier this afternoon. And we still need about $30,000. We've had 64 people step out in faith this hour saying, I will give to support Relevant Radio. And I'm asking you, please, can you help us now? RelevantRadio.com is the easiest way to give. RelevantRadio.com, if you're listening on the Relevant Radio app, you can give there, or you can call 1-877-291-0123. We have thank you gifts we would like to give you in return. You can see those gifts if you give at RelevantRadio.com, where you can choose what that gift is based on the dollar amount you're able to give. Okay, so it's a feast day of Our Lady of Lourdes, and we all know the story. Perhaps you don't quite realize how recent this apparition was. Our Lady appeared 18 times in 1858, beginning what would be today, February 11th. She appeared starting on February 11th all the way through to the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel on, is that July 15th or 16th? I think it's the 16th. And what happened is she appeared to a 14-year-old poor girl, a French girl known as Saint Bernadette. Our Lady of Mount Carmel's feast day is the 16th indeed. So here you may have heard or known people who have traveled to the Basilica and the healing waters at Lourdes. Thousands have claimed that they've been healed. 69 have been verified as healed just since 1862. Healed from entering into those healing waters at Lourdes, where Our Lady appeared to Bernadette and encouraged her to dig and dig. People thought she was crazy. She was digging and eating, I think, dirt and gravel and some of the bushes, and she was doing it as penance, but she was also digging because Our Lady told her to, and there were discovered the healing waters. In fact, a woman came forward and actually was healed there on the spot during one of the apparitions. And so here's what's interesting, because there is a comment made by Saint Bernadette in her writings about her interaction with Our Lady at Lourdes during these apparitions. She said that Our Lady did not promise to make me happy in this world, but in the next. And as I was thinking about this theme of happiness, and if you don't know, every Monday we have a weekly happy hour here on Trending. So this is your teaser for our Monday happy hour. It's happy hour on Friday for a moment. I kept thinking about how so many people today traveled to Lourdes, or even at the time of the apparition, traveled to Lourdes because they expected healing of their body and their ailments, the ability, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak. You know, these same things that people would come to our Lord Jesus Christ in order to receive physical healing. But it wasn't about the physical healing. Every time Jesus healed someone, he would say, go now, your sins have been forgiven. He wasn't just healing their physical body to make life easy and happy and so that we could have those happy emotions because our back no longer hurts, because we can communicate better, because we can speak now. No, he was working in a way to give the gift of physical healing so that you might have the gift, so that you could actually be with him in heaven because of your faith. Because by that mysterious gift of the healing, that you would be inspired to a greater devotion to our Lord. Now, some people go to the healing waters at Lourdes and they're not healed. And people ask, well, why not? Doesn't God want me to be, quote, happy? And that comes back to the words of Saint Bernadette, that she was told by the lady, that is the Blessed Virgin Mary, she did not promise to make me happy in this world, but in the next. You see, happiness is fleeting. It's an emotion. It's momentary, just like giddiness or sorrow. It can come and go. But joy is an eternal understanding. Joy is eternal beatitude with God, a sense of belonging, a life full of grace, a life of peace and love, and it's perpetual. And we can receive a glimpse of this here on earth. And Jesus Christ in his healings, in the healings that occur from the apparitions at Lourdes to the healing waters at Lourdes, it's a reminder of what Saint Bernadette was told. Our Lady wasn't there to just make her happy and feel good. She was there to prepare her for the next world where she would experience eternal beatitude, eternal love itself, eternal kindness, eternal mercy, eternal gentleness. And I think that that's what's so important that we remember when we talk about happiness. That happiness is emotional, it's fleeting. And sometimes we're trying to do all these quick fixes in our lives. But in reality, what we're searching for, who we're searching for, is God. And the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary reminded Bernadette of that. In the words and experience of Bernadette, now, almost a couple hundred years later, it's a reminder for us to eternal happiness, our total fulfillment as human beings created in the image and likeness of God, will be in eternity in heaven with God. So if we experience great miracles in our own lives, praise be to God. It's a gift. And it should be inspire us to greater faith. But if we don't experience great miracles in our lives, such as being saved from death, such as being healed of an ailment that otherwise couldn't be healed, or whatever it might be, we have to remember that God is working every day in our lives, and we do experience miracles every single day in our personal lives, but also the miracle of the transubstantiation of our Lord Jesus Christ from the bread and wine into the body and blood, the flesh and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in that great gift, in that sacrament of the Eucharist. So you want a miracle? Go chase a miracle by going to Mass tomorrow, attending daily Mass, receiving our Lord worthily and thanking him for the grace that hopefully will take you one day to heaven through our cooperation and the unending merciful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to come to one other message of Our Lady at Fatima. It's been the theme of all of the Marian apparitions that we've seen over the last few hundred years. And it has to do with penance, making penance, interceding for others. Our Lady told Bernadette on February 24th in 1858, penance, penance, penance. Pray to God for sinners. You know, I think that the Blessed Virgin Mary didn't just say this for sinners. She said that for all of us, and by the way, we are sinners too. She said this for two types of people. For those people who pray, who are sinners, and for those people who do not pray, who are also sinners. You see, she said this to help us discover true happiness. That happiness comes from God and is with God. That is joy, eternal beatitude with him. This is only discovered through a life of total life-giving, self-giving love. I remember in my theology classes with Dr. Michael Barber at John Paul the Great Catholic University, he would say over and over again, helping us to understand the significance of the cross, of Jesus Christ's death that was bloody, bruised, and crucified, that death, that crucifix we look at, that is what we are meant to do too. And he would say over and over again, and he'd say, repeat this, I am made for life-giving, self-giving love. That's the meaning of the cross. It's bloody, it's bruised, it's beaten. And this is why the message of Our Lady at Fatima, at Lourdes, it repeats the same cry. Do penance for sinners. Pray for those who are in sin, including ourselves. This will bring happiness. When you start living your life for the sake of others, when you make sacrifices, when you fast, even when it's not Lent, I know we have a month almost to go to Lent, but you can fast, you can pray, you can go to Mass a couple extra times a week in reparation for maybe someone, maybe a child or a spouse or a friend or the souls in purgatory who are waiting, who want to be with our Lord, but maybe don't quite understand this. This is the meaning of the cross. This is the meaning in the words that come from Our Lady at Lourdes. We may not all be able to go to the healing waters of Lourdes, but we can all do penance and pray for sinners, including ourselves. In prayerful sacrifice for others, our lives change, and we unite ourselves to the cross of Christ.